There's a certain kind of book that gets filed under one label and quietly does three other things at once. And Perspectives is where that kind of mislabeling gets corrected.
Today, we're following Sheevan into the world of Mary Renault's Alexander trilogy, historical fiction, ancient Persia, and what it means to romanticize a conqueror you know was also a ruthless one.
Let's start with the trilogy itself.
The central tension here is this. Mary Renault is celebrated primarily as a landmark LGBT writer, but that framing undersells what she actually built, a methodically researched, deeply felt portrait of Alexander the Great and the ancient Persian world he moved through.
And the Post makes clear that the praise isn't uncritical. On Alexander's historical reputation, the Post quotes directly from an earlier work. Mongols are vilified in literature, but romanticize Alexander of Macedon on his eastern campaigns, raped, massacred, deported, and enslaved people, looted and wrecked cultural heritages. Historian Arian emphasized Alexander's body count.
So the romanticization is acknowledged head-on. Renault's historicity has drawn criticism from some scholars and praise from others, including Robin Lane Fox. The Post finds her Persian cultural detail largely sound, while agreeing she softens Alexander considerably.
Three books make up the trilogy: Fire from Heaven, The Persian Boy, and Funeral Games, and each one tracks a different phase of Alexander's life and legacy.
Fire from Heaven opens with Alexander's childhood, his volatile mother Olympias, his father Philip, his education under Aristotle, and his first bond with Hephaestion. Tom Holland called it the greatest coming-of-age story ever to double as a work of historical fiction.
That's a large claim, but the Post earns it with specifics. Plutarch's account of the young Alexander interrogating Persian emissaries, the taming of Bucephalos, the murder of Philip. Renault renders all of it, and Hephaestion is always present, not by calculation, but in a constant awareness by which no smallest trifle was missed.
The Persian boy shifts perspective entirely, narrated by Bagawas, the eunuch who became Alexander's lover after the conquest of Persia. The Post describes it as the author's favorite book, read many times, and the source of real journeys, Persepolis, Pasargadae, Susa, Ecbatana, and sites in Afghanistan.
The Post also surfaces a genuinely affecting historical episode, Sissy Gambis, mother of Darius III, mistaking Hephaestion for Alexander and prostrating before him. Alexander's response, verified in Arian and Quintus Curtius, "You are not mistaken, mother, for this man too is Alexander."
Arian later frames their bond in terms of Achilles and Patroclus, and the Post quotes him directly on Alexander's grief. "I believe he would have preferred to go first himself rather than live on in the shadow of that experience, just as I think Achilles too would have chosen to die before Patroclus."
As for Funeral Games, the Post declines to discuss it at length. Not from indifference, but because after two books traveling alongside Alexander and Hephaestion, the grief of their absence is too heavy to revisit easily. That's a review in itself.
The Post closes by describing Renault's method as weaving history and geography with fiction, as methodically and as cleverly as an Iranian carpet weaver, and argues that reducing her to a symbol of gay literature is an injustice to everything else she accomplished.
What stays with me is the idea that a novelist can override the historian's better judgment, and that Renault apparently does this every time.
The Posts make the case that fiction, done rigorously enough, is its own form of historical argument. Worth sitting with.